Okay, we're in John chapter 4, starting in verse 43. Let's review first. Tell me what has been going on in John chapter 4.
Previous week?
Previous couple weeks.
Yeah. So Jesus ended up healing the Samaritans, or not healing the Samaritans, but spreading the word of God to them.
Yes.
Before that, John was in Galilee. He was baptizing as well. And Jesus was baptizing, and then they started going to Jesus more than John. And John was like, that's okay.
Yeah.
He was okay. Yeah.
That's right. He must increase. I must decrease. Mm-hmm. That's what John said. Okay, good. And then, yes, and so he had the conversation with the woman at the well, and of course, wound up getting invited to stay in Samaria, and did, and taught, and lots of fruit that happened there. Okay, that's all review. Let's move on. We're going to be in verse 43 is where we'll start. I remember when my parents divorced. And I remember how much it hurt when that happened. It, for all practical purposes, ended my family. And it did so in a way that actually was more painful than if one of them had died. You've been hurt before, somewhere, through something. It's happened. You've seen, I don't know what it was, parents who died or somebody who died, you know, a relative that you were close with, a friend, a spouse, a child, you've gotten maybe bad news from the doctor. Or you remember the time when your boss treated you unjustly and how that felt when that happened. When your best friend said hurtful things to you. This is life, right? I mean, this stuff happens all the time. And you've been hurt. You have somewhere along the way. And when you hurt, what do? Okay, yeah.
Angry.
Okay.
Become angry.
Yeah.
And try to fight back.
Okay. We're gonna talk about that today, along with some other things that we will be talking about in John 4, what we're going to be reading. I'm going to start in verse 43, and I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. After the 2 days, he departed for Galilee. For Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. And when this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go. Your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, "Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. So this story begins 2 days after Jesus had spent 2 days in Samaria. So you remember we had just talked about that. He'd stayed in Samaria. He's been preaching there. He's been teaching there. And the Samaritans have been coming to him. They're responding. And they're responding favorably to Jesus. They're believing him. And this two-day stop in Samaria was actually an interruption. He was traveling from Judea, which is in the south, to Galilee, which is in the north. And Samaria is in between the two. And so in order to go from Judea to Galilee, you have to walk through Samaria. And the original plan, well, from Jesus's perspective, perhaps this was the original plan. But for everybody else's, you know, the disciples and such, this was probably not the original plan. The original plan was just, we're going up to Galilee. And so this was like a two-day interruption to the original plan. And verse 43 tells us that Jesus is resuming the trip. So he had been going to Galilee, and he stopped for 2 days in Samaria. And all right, well, let's go on. Let's go to Galilee now. So he's going back up to Galilee. And this interruption, sometimes God does this with you. Sometimes ministry for God's kingdom takes very unexpected turns. And that's, and turns that you were not planning on, but God was. And God has his plan. We have our plans. They're not always the same. And sometimes we have to be willing to set our plans aside, because God's got something going on here. And that's what happened with Samaria. Samaria was a whole big, God had his plans, we have our plans kind of thing. Small example. Friday night, Leanne and I are eating dinner. Knock on the door. It's our next door neighbor who comes over, and I think she just needed someone to talk to. And so she just comes on over, and we talked and said, "Hey, sit down. We got a couple burgers here. Have a burger." And so she's eating, and we're talking and whatnot. And, I just go clean the kitchen and let the ladies talk. And then Leanne's praying with her and so on. This is all totally unexpected. We were just eating dinner, minding our own business, and when this happens, this neighbor just comes over. We weren't planning that. It just happened. She did smell the burgers. That's true. We grilled them out in the backyard. So she did mention she was smelling those. You're right. Oh, man. There's a sense in which Samaria was just like that. It was that kind of thing on a bigger scale, obviously. And so Samaria was 2 days that just happened, is what it was. And of course, you could say that for Jesus, that was part of the original plan, because Jesus knows a bit more than we do. But I'll guarantee you that for Jesus' disciples, that was not part of the plan. I know that. It just happened, and they had to sort of roll with it, so to speak. Be open to that. Be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit might be doing, and be willing to maybe stop doing what you were planning on doing so you can do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Because those aren't always the same thing. And you can drive on with your plan and miss the Holy Spirit. So just be open to that kind of thing, to ministry that just happens. God is often in that. So Jesus goes to Galilee, and we get a description of the Galileans here. And it's kind of weird. And so here's I'm going to kind of explain the weirdness here. Jesus says in the next verse, it's verse 44, a prophet has no honor in his hometown. Jesus says that. And Jesus' hometown is Nazareth, which is in Galilee. Galilee is a region. Nazareth is a town in the region. And so Jesus is saying, we're going to Galilee, and a prophet has no honor there. And he probably told his disciples this while they're walking. Okay, we're getting ready to go to Galilee, guys. A prophet has no honor in his hometown. You need to understand that. And he may have said this to his disciples while they walk from Samaria to Galilee, because in Samaria, the people loved him. And they're getting ready to go somewhere else. And he's preparing them for what to expect. Don't expect the same response in Galilee that we got in Samaria. That's the idea that he's probably getting at. You know, I'm a Galilean. I'm one of those guys. And so it's probably going to go different. And so we've got this really crazy picture where the Samaritans honor the Messiah and the Jews don't. I mean, chew on that for a minute. I'm not saying all the Jews don't. His disciples are Jews. But I'm talking big picture. I'm not talking every little person. Big picture, the Samaritans honor him and the Jews don't. Have you ever been surprised at who got saved? I hope you have been at times. You know that guy in college who is just a partier all the time, and you meet him later, you got saved? You met Jesus? That was the last, you're about the last guy I would have expected who would do that. Or you know that girl who went to church all the time, and then you meet her later and she never really doesn't really believe in Jesus anymore. And it's like, wait a minute. We got this backwards, don't we? The partier gets saved. The churchgoer doesn't. This happens all the time. This is life. This is how people are. God's going to surprise you a lot with what he does and who he does what with. He will give you lots of surprises. So Samaritans accept Jesus in large numbers. Jews don't. Go figure that one out. That's kind of like the examples I gave you, modern examples. But these Galileans, their response is very odd. Because Jesus says, in general, they will not honor him. But then just look at the next verse, verse 45. What do they do? You tell me, what's the verse say they do? They welcome him. Okay, Jesus just got done saying that a prophet has no honor in his hometown. And the next verse says, the Galileans welcomed him. That's the weird part that I told you. I'd explain what was weird about this. And that's what's weird about this, is they're welcoming him. And so what we have then is these welcoming people will not honor him. Right? Okay, yes, which is where that's the next thing we're going to be talking about. What we've got is the outside doesn't match the inside. They're welcoming. You've had people welcome you on the outside, but there wasn't really something on the inside. It's like Hondi used to say this. He said this about Hondi's you guys don't know him. He's from Indonesia, and he's a believer, would go to these American churches, and he said that the churches that he would go to, they're very friendly, but they don't want to be my friend. And that's a quote. That's exactly what he said. On the outside, but on the inside, we got a different dynamic going on here, right? Okay, something like that is going on here with the Galileans. They're very welcoming, but they're not going to honor him. And so the outside doesn't match the inside, and there's a reason why. And it's what Laura was getting at. Verse 45, they had seen the signs that Jesus had done in Jerusalem. And they welcome him because of the signs. They've seen what he's done. And they're probably talking to him. Hey, we're glad you're here. We saw what you did in Jerusalem. Hey, do some of that here. And so this is kind of what's going on. And Jesus does not care about that attitude. That's not what he's looking for. And he says, when later in this story, when the government official from Capernaum comes to him to heal his son, he says, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Jesus says that. And when Jesus says, unless you, the word you there, is plural. In Texas, we'd say, unless y'all see signs and wonders, y'all will not believe. And so when Jesus is saying that, he's actually not necessarily talking directly to, he is talking to the government official, but he's talking to everybody because it's plural. He's, you know, they've been probably saying to him, hey, do something here. And then here comes this guy from Capernaum who doesn't know anything about what's been going on there and just says, hey, come heal my son. And Jesus is addressing everybody there. He's addressing the Galilean people. And we've talked about this issue already, the signs issue. Because in chapter 2, you know, John chapter 2, like two chapters ago when we were there, verses 23 through 5, it says, Jesus did not entrust himself to those who believed simply because of the signs that they saw him do in Jerusalem. So he had done some signs in Jerusalem, but not up in Galilee, where he is now. And Jesus, he is not looking for you and me to just give him faith because of what he does. He wants from you faith, not faith when God does mighty works, not faith when your life goes the way you want your life to go, not faith when things are good. Jesus wants from you faith, period. Put a period there. There is no more. He wants your faith. I remember I was talking to a man. He was complaining that God did not do this thing, or he didn't do that thing that this man wanted God to do. And he was saying to me, how can I trust God when he won't do this thing, that, you know, whatever it was that he was wanting God to do for him? And I said something to him like, listen, God is not your vending machine. And there are a lot of people for whom that's all God is. He's just a giant vending machine. You know, I put in my money and press the button and I get the candy that I want. That's not what God is, but that's how a lot of people think he is. But he's God, guys. You need to see him as God. And not just as a means to get what you want. That's not what God is. Okay, the people who are just looking for signs, God's their vending machine. That's really all God is to them. And Jesus sees it. He sees through all of that. And he's not interested in that kind of faith. You have to trust him even if you don't get what you want. Can you trust God if you don't get what you want? That's a big question. Jesus is your Lord. Period. We'll put a period after that statement too. Jesus is your Lord. Period. He is your Lord when you get a promotion at work. And he is your Lord when you are fired from work and you're unemployed. It doesn't matter what happens at work. He is your Lord. He is your Lord when you get married. And he is your Lord if you ever divorce. He is your Lord. Period. God forbid that happens. But he's your Lord if it happens. He is your Lord when you are healthy, and he is your Lord when you are sick. He is your Lord. And you are to trust him always. Not just when you get what you want. So, right now in your life, you don't have to answer this out loud, but think about this. What is not going the way you want? I bet there's something that's not going the way you want. Jesus wants your faith. And so, don't just trust him if you get what you want. And don't make the thing you want the, how shall I put it? Don't make that what makes you trust him. I'll trust him if I get this. That's not faith. Faith is, I trust him. And there is no if. I just trust him. That's what faith is. And so don't require signs to trust him. Now, I'm not saying signs are bad. Signs can be good. God uses them. But if that is the foundation for your trust, you really don't have any trust, because that's not what trust is. Trust him when you don't see signs. And when you do that, now we're beginning to talk about faith now when that happens. Jesus wants you to trust him with your troubles and with your hurts. And that's what this government official from Capernaum is doing with Jesus. See, this man, first of all, this man is probably Jewish, not Roman. He probably works in the court of Herod Antipas, who was a Jewish king. He was the way the government worked, you had Rome over everything, but locally, Rome would have kings from the various peoples in their empire who would be local, and they would be one of the people, and they would rule the area. Well, the Jews had Herod. They had multiple Herods, actually. And so Herod Antipas is a puppet king under the Roman Empire. Okay, this man probably works for Herod, this official in Capernaum. And he too's heard about the signs. And he too has heard that, oh, Jesus is back in Galilee. Have you heard? Jesus is back in Galilee. And Capernaum is a village in Galilee. And Cana, where Jesus is a village in Galilee. We got different villages in Galilee. And this official, his son is sick, and he's desperate, and he's hurting, and he's heard, and he's like, what do I have to lose? I'm going to make the trip. And so he walks from Capernaum to Cana to find Jesus and to ask if Jesus would come back to Capernaum and heal his son. That's what he's going to do. And so he goes there and he says to Jesus, could you come please heal my son? And Jesus says, unless y'all see signs and wonders, you won't believe. And Jesus is getting at real faith and theology and, you know, whatnot. But this man isn't interested in theology. Not right now. He says, look at verse 49. Sir, come down before my child dies. You see there his focus. His focus is his son. His son is about to die. And that's all he cares about right now. His focus really isn't on signs. The signs are probably why he's there. He's probably heard Jesus can do this. But his real focus is his son. And he believes Jesus can do something. That's actually why he made the trip. If he didn't think Jesus could do anything, why even make the trip? And so he does. And you know what? This man has more of what Jesus is actually looking for. This man hurts. This man is desperate. And this man goes to Jesus. And he goes to Jesus with his hurt and his desperation. And he doesn't really have many other options. And he's going to, that's why he's going to Jesus. And this is what Jesus wants from you and me. He wants us to run to him when you hurt. You know, I asked that in the beginning about what do you do when you hurt? I'll tell you what Jesus wants. Come to me, all you who labor and are weary, and I will give rest to your souls. It's the scripture that Leanne had us read earlier. Or the song we sang, lay down your burden, come as you are. That's what Jesus wants. That's the attitude, the mentality that he seeks from you and from me. So, what's that mean? It means when you get bad news from the doctor, don't pull back from Jesus. Some people do. I got bad news from the doctor. God must not be working. I don't know if I can trust him. That's backwards. It should be more, I got bad news from the doctor. Who else can I go to? I'm running to Jesus. That's how we should be thinking. Whatever happens, we'll say bad news from the doctor, and your focus is now, I'm going on the internet and I'm going to find out what I can do for this and that. And there's nothing wrong with doing that, by the way. I'm not saying that's wrong, but that shouldn't be your first focus. You can search those sorts of things, but your first focus needs to be going to Jesus for whatever the situation happens to be. Run to him. Make him your focus. He may use whatever you find on the internet to help out here or there, but make him your focus. Don't lose Jesus in the midst of whatever other, help options you might think of. When people say hurtful things, and they do, run to Jesus. Talk to him. You know what? I will guarantee you that Jesus understands how it feels to have people say hurtful things to him. I mean, you just read the Gospels and, they said he was demonic. They accused him of blasphemy. Jesus understands what it's like to be on the receiving end of hurtful words. He really does. In fact, I would go so far as to say that he understands it much better than you do. In Jesus, Hebrews says, we have a high priest who has suffered as we do. Jesus has experienced injustice. In fact, much more than you ever will. Jesus has experienced slander. Jesus has experienced pain and suffering. He has experienced all of these things far more acutely than you ever will. I mean, if anyone doesn't really understand, it's you and me. We don't really understand the fullness of pain and suffering and hurt. And we understand pain and suffering and hurt. I'm not saying we don't. We do. I'm just saying we don't understand it as deeply as he does. You have not yet resisted sin to the point of blood. Hebrews 12 says, Jesus has. He understands your pain. He guys, he gets it. There's those commercials like on the Super Bowl, right? He gets us. I don't know if you've seen those commercials, but there's truth there. He gets us. And he understands the pain more than we understand the pain. And he is for you. He's not against you. He loves you. He went to the cross for you. He shed his blood to pay for your sin. He loves you. And he wants you to trust him in your pain, your hurt, your whatever it happens to be. He wants your heart. That's what he's looking for. And he wants your heart, whether your circumstances get better or not. They may not get better. There are no promises that at least here on earth, circumstances will get better. And it says this man, this government official from Capernaum, it says he believed and went away. And so the man, this wasn't the man's plan. The man's plan was to ask Jesus to return with him to Capernaum so Jesus could heal his son. Jesus makes no such return. All he does is say, he says, go, your son will live. That's not the man's plan. The man wanted Jesus to come with him. Jesus isn't coming. Okay, are you going to believe him or not? It says the man believed him and went away. And he believed before he knew his son was healed. Because Jesus says, verse 50, go, your son will live. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. And he finds out the next day that his son is better. But he believed anyway before he found out. Jesus will not do things the way you want. He will not do things the way you expect. But he will do things. You can expect him to do things. I will say that. But you can't expect him to do it the way you think it should be done. I will say that too. Because he isn't going to do it the way you think it should be done. AIF, that's this church, has gone that way. I've asked it to go this way or expected this to happen, and it never happens the way I expect it or want it or whatever. But, I do believe Jesus is in it. And I do believe he will lead it. Even though I don't know exactly how it's going to go. I began by talking about my parents' divorce. After my parents divorced, my relationship with them did not go as I wanted it to go. And that hurt. But in bringing the whole thing to Jesus, he had to heal me first before he would heal the relationships. But he's healed them, those relationships, in his time and in his way. It wasn't my way. It wasn't my time. It wasn't on my time frame. During all that time, I had to just trust him. And I had to trust him even if the relationships didn't heal the way I wanted them to. Because to be honest with you, I wasn't sure it was going to happen. And so I had to just hold on to him in the midst of that. So when you run to Jesus with your hurts, and when you see Jesus maybe bring healing to your soul when you run to him with your hurts, because that's really what he's going to do. When that happens, and maybe even when he does change the situation, whatever the issue is with you guys, when you see all of that sort of peace for your soul and maybe even remedy in the whatever the situation happens to see, when you see all of that, it strengthens your faith. You see that with this man. Afterwards, it says, and he believed in his whole household. And it's kind of an odd thing. It says he believed. Well, it said he believed a few verses earlier. He believed and went away. And now it says, oh, and he believed in his whole household. Later in the same section. And really what's going on is he had some faith in the beginning. But he had some faith at the end. If I can put it that way. And what went from faith to faith? The difference was what he saw Jesus do. And that's the way it works with us. You got to trust him when you don't see the end, when it doesn't look so good. You got to trust him. But if you trust him through it, by the end, that trust gets a whole lot stronger. But for that to happen, for faith to be strengthened, you have to hold on to Jesus when you don't see life going your way. And that's when it's hard. So here's what I want to do. I want you to think of something that has hurt you, either something going on now, especially if there is such a thing, which I'm guessing there's something. And what I'm going to do is ask you to give that to Jesus. Come to him, all you who labor and are burdened, he says. I will give rest to your souls. Okay, well, let's take that and come to him then. That's what he says. Let's do it and not just study it. And so trust him with it. And if you don't understand why, in fact, I'm going to make a guess that if it hurts, you don't understand why. Usually those things go together. So if it does, you don't understand why, trust him anyway. And if the situation has gotten worse, trust him anyway. And so I want you to ask for his grace to trust him more. There's a hymn that's that, like, oh, for grace to trust him more, right? Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, that hymn, yeah. What I don't want you to do is make some vow that you're just going to trust. And don't do that, because you're not as strong as you think you are. Instead, I'm going to tell you to ask for his grace to trust him, rather than making some promise that you're just not going to be able to fulfill. Just ask for his grace to give this to him and trust him. And so we're going to have I'm just going to have a time for you to pray. You can pray silently over the issue, whatever the issue is, your hurt is, and for his grace to trust him.